Shire is a leading global specialty biopharmaceutical company with a focus on helping people with life-altering conditions to lead better lives. While Shire's portfolio of ADHD medicines helps patients diagnosed with ADHD, we recognize the need to provide additional support to them and their families. And that's why we at Shire value our local, regional, and international partnerships that are designed to develop and enhance programs to improve the understanding and awareness of ADHD. At Shire, people diagnosed with ADHD have our full attention. To learn more about Shire, visit www.shire.com.
To Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Welcome, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. Tonight is November the 16th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, year 2011. With us in our virtual studio tonight is Sandy Maynard. We're here to make a mess. I hope you brought your aprons, as I was posting out there on Facebook. The actual title of the show is ADHD, Go Ahead and Make a Mess, and we're going to kind of get into that in a second. A bunch of announcements. Actually, first, I want to warn everybody. We're hot off the CHAD conference. I spent last weekend up there, saw a lot of old friends, and I want to thank all of our listeners who came up and said hi to me. It was a real thrill to see you there, particularly the ones that I had met. And honestly, I think I've got an information hangover. It's been coined on the Attention Talk Radio Facebook page just from all the overload, which if you're not familiar, we did launch a Facebook page about a month ago. It's facebook.com/Attention Talk Radio. If you haven't done so, please go check us out. Like the page, if you will. We think it's we're excited about it. You can actually listen to this show live off the page. There's a live show tab. You can access archives, and you can get a list of our upcoming shows. Also, I want to remind everybody, we announced this last week, we're doing some giveaways. If you go to the facebook.com/Attention Talk Radio and click on the advertisers and giveaways tab, we're actually in the process of raffling off a $50 iTunes gift certificate. All you have to do is complete the form and hit submit, and you'll be entered into a drawing to receive $50 of iTunes gift purchases. So please, if you haven't been there, go check it out. Again, no purchase required, and while you're there, like our page. Let's see. Next week, it's going to be an interesting show. I don't normally talk a lot about upcoming shows, but Dr. Russ Ramsey is coming on, and we're going to try a little experiment. After doing the show for a spell and talking to a lot of experts, he's going to kind of come on and try to pick my brain a little bit about what I've learned from the show host, and we're going to talk about different things that you can do. We're trying to organize them into a mental model that I have to kind of keep it straight. So I'm going to throw that out there, and if I confuse myself, Dr. Ramsey will there to kind of pick up the pieces in or validate what I'm saying to make sure it makes some sense. So hopefully if I can figure it all out, then you guys it should be a piece of cake for you. Let's see. I think that's all of our announcements tonight. So again, with us tonight, we've got Sandy Maynard. Sandy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jeff.
Now, Sandy, you graduated from, it's Weldon University, right?
Yes, in health psychology.
In health psychology, and you're an ADD coach.
Mm-hmm.
You were actually instrumental in the development of the National Attention Deficit Disorder Association Coach's Guide, if I understand that correctly.
Yes.
Certified Master Practitioner of NLP.
Mm-hmm.
And you operate Catalytic Coaching in the D.C. area?
Yes. I'm one of the, pioneers in the field of ADHD coaching. When I first started, there was only about a half a dozen of us. It was something that was very new. Life coaching was around, but
mm-hmm.
life coaching wasn't working for those with ADHD. We have a different set of issues to work with. So developing how to coach someone who's inattentive and impulsive took a while to formulate methods and models and how to use those coaching tools for the person with ADHD so they can succeed and bring out their talents and strengths.
That's got to be challenging, actually, defining all that stuff on the front side, just kind of starting with a white sheet of paper and trying to figure it out. I'm sure that was probably pretty challenging and rewarding at the same time.
It was. It was both. It was both. You know, finding out what works for individuals, there's nothing better.
Absolutely. Well, hey Sandy, this is I'm really kind of excited about this topic. This is I don't typically get into real specific tactical stuff on the show because I like people to kind of search through and kind of figure this stuff out. But you're kind of an expert on sprawling.
Right.
can you tell us about sprawling and tell us about yourself and the relationship to sprawling? We'll kind of get into making a mess today.
Okay. A lot of us need to sprawl our work out in front of us to see what we have because we can't organize it in our mind until we see it all in front of us. And so having a space in which to do that for each project we take on, whether it's a kitchen renovation project where we've got tile samples and floor samples and contractor names and pictures we've clipped out of magazines of different cabinets and whatnot. You know, we need to have that all laid out in front of us to formulate a game plan. You know, it tends to just spin around in our mind otherwise, and we need to nail it down by getting it all out in front of us to lay out that game plan. What do I do first? What do I do second? What do I do third? So that is important, and that's true of a lot of other projects, whether you're picking out summer camps for the kids or, doing medical reimbursements with all the different forms there are or whatever it is. But many times when we have a project all sprawled out, especially if we have a partner who's a neatnik, we're in their way, we're in their space, and if it's a shared area that needs to be used by both, we need a real fast, quick, easy, dirty way of collecting it all back up, getting it in a container, categorized and sorted, and set aside so that we can use the sprawl area for another project, or so someone else can use the sprawl area. So today's really going to be about how fast and effective and efficient we need to be at that, so we can sprawl when we want to sprawl.
Sprawl and unsprawl.
Sprawl and unsprawl as quickly and as easily as possible.
That's right. And everybody, we'll get into this in a second. You're going to know exactly why Sandy's the perfect person to come on the show. But before we kind of get a little bit further, I do want to kind of pause a little bit. There are a lot of people with ADD that are visual learners. And last weekend I sat in on a Russell Barkley presentation. He's got this new concept of ADD moving towards executive function deficit disorder. And at the end of his presentation, he was talking about the need to externalize a lot of stuff that's in an ADDer's mind, which really makes a lot of sense for visual learners. And in particular, I want to share this story as we get into it. I was coaching a woman one time who was struggling at work, and we knew very early on that she was a very, very visual learner, and we figured out she was visual, but she didn't know she was a sprawler. She was a sprawler, but she wasn't conscious of it. And as we started working together and she started to realize how visualization was really important for her, she had an aha in the middle of a coaching session one day and realized that her job was going fine until the CFO removed the printers because he felt that they were spending too much money. And thereby she couldn't print the stuff off and sprawl on her desk, so she was actually having to toggle back and forth on different computer screens, and her working memory couldn't keep up. And that's when her job started to challenge her, which was just fascinating, because with the aha of that, we were able to say, hey, listen, how do we go back? She could buy her own printer, do whatever. But I want to reinforce that externalizing some of this and being able to see it is really, really important. And Sandy here, and I'm going to just kind of let you kind of walk us through this, because I think she's an expert at how to sprawl organizationally and then unsprawl very quickly when she needs it. So tell us about the concept of that and living in the space with a neatnik where you need the ability to have your area to sprawl out, but at the same time unsprawl when you need to.
Right, right. If you're a sprawler, you need a sprawl space, and that sprawl space should be off limits to the non-sprawler. In other words, that's your area in which you can sprawl and work without invading someone else's space. Kind of go around your home and think of your home in terms of three categories: sprawl spaces, non-sprawl spaces, and shared spaces. And the shared spaces might be the places where you can work and sprawl your stuff, but you can't leave it there. Oftentimes, this might be a dining room table. It might be, yeah, I can sit down at the dining room table and pay my bills at the dining room table because there's a big window and it's nice and sunny there, and, you know, bill paying's a yucky job, and I like to do it in a nice sunny room.
Mm-hmm.
But when I get done paying my bills, I've got to bring my stuff back to my desk and get it off the table. In other family situations or homes, it might be that the dining room table is a non-sprawl space. It's just for eating only, thank you very much. You can't put your rollerblades there. You can't put your bills there. You can't put anything there. It's for eating. We want it, you know, a clear area. For some, clear areas might be kitchen counters or coffee tables. You know, those areas that are used by other people that we really don't like to have projects laid out and the space cluttered.
Sure.
Obviously, you know, if you have to share a closet, divide it right down the middle. That's your side. This is my side, you know. So your clutter doesn't start creeping in on my side of the clutter. And sometimes when there is an area that's off limits for your clutter, have a basket in that room. If you see something that somebody put there that's clutter and it's supposed to be a clear space,
mm-hmm.
put it in the basket. So if honey comes along and says, gee, where's my XYZ that I put on the counter? You say, look in the basket.
There you go.
It's supposed to be put on the counter.
So we got sprawl areas, right? We got
right.
areas that are you can sprawl into, but you got to unsprawl quickly. And then we got neat-nick areas that you really – there's no sprawling allowed. Is that right?
Right.
Okay.
And I think an important point to make about your sprawl area is that, you know, sometimes you're going to be working on more than one project. And it's important to recognize your limit with that. There used to be a lot of information about, oh, people who are really high-performance oriented can multitask. In other words, they can work on three or four things at a time. And that may be the case for you. But recent research has found that if the tasks that you're multitasking with are simple and familiar, it'll probably be easy to multitask and you will be more effective and efficient and save time. But if the tasks are complex and unfamiliar, multitasking is going to thwart your efforts. So keep that in mind when you're working on more than one project at a time. It shouldn't be a complex and unfamiliar project. It should be simple and familiar.
That's important. See, I tell you what,
yeah.
I need to run to a commercial. We want to break a break.
Mm-hmm.
For those who might have some questions about sprawling or actually your kind of coaching practice, is the best place to contact you via email or on your website?
On the website or, you know, sandy@sandymaynard.com.
That's sandy@sandymaynard.com. And, again, you can go
right.
there, learn about a coaching practice. I'm sure there's a contact button, and you can go from there. So with that, we'll be right back after this message.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
ADHD, is it real? How is it diagnosed? How do I know if I have it or if my children have it? Do you outgrow it? You have questions and we have answers. We're CHAD, a national organization made up of professionals, parents, educators, and, of course, those with ADHD. So if you want real answers to your questions, join CHAD at www.chadd.org or call us at 800-233-4050.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Has your child been diagnosed with ADHD? Is he not fulfilling his potential? Success in Mind can help. We provide assessments that identify a student's learning profile of strengths and challenges. The result? A practical plan of strategies and tools that go beyond medication that parents, teachers, and students can implement together. If your child needs more success, visit Success in Mind at www.success-in-mind.org.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
News, updates, and alerts sent right to your inbox. Sign up now at attentionradio.com. You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everyone. We got Sandy Maynard in our virtual studio. We're talking about making a mess. Before the break, we were talking about sprawl areas, neatnik areas, and areas that you can sprawl and unsprawl. And I wanted to get into some details about how you design the areas, particularly the sprawl and unsprawl areas. But before we do, I just want to do a quick shout-out to some of the people that have been following us on Facebook. Mary Lou, Gina, Dr. P, Rebecca, Lynn, Cheryl, Ken, Robert, Kathy, and Zoe, and then some of our Twitter followers, Beth, Jason, and Canada out there. So, again, thanks for tuning in and commenting on both the Twitter and Facebook for what we're doing. Sandy, let's talk about areas where you need to be able to sprawl and then unsprawl quickly. You've got a lot of tips for our audience on how to do this.
Right. I think L-shaped desk setups are great for ADDers. If you're right-handed, on the right-hand side of the desk is where your computer is, where you check your email, where you put your, you know, cup of pens and scissors and rulers and things you use all the time. And this is where your work area is on things that are done on a daily basis. Now, the left-hand side of the desk can be used for your sprawl area, and it can be shared with other people. This is where, let's say you're picking out, you know, camps, summer camps. You're going to sprawl all the information out, work on it, then scoop it up, put it back in a bucket, and, you know, put it in a closet or on the floor by the side of the desk so that that area becomes clean and clear to use again for another project at some other time or for someone else's use.
Mm-hmm.
When I first came here to D.C., I worked with a lot of attorneys, and this one particular attorney I worked with down on Pennsylvania Ave, huge office, big, mega, big desk. It was a
mm-hmm.
huge desk, but it still wasn't big enough for all the things that he needed to do at it. What we did was we got a bookcase for behind the desk. He typically worked on about 5 cases at a time. So each shelf of the bookcase was for each case he was working on.
Okay.
So he could scoop the stuff off one shelf, spread it out on his desk, work on just that case, and then when he was done working on that case, scoop it back up and put it on the bookshelf behind him and take out another case. You know, and that can be done with buckets instead of a shelving system. But to be able to bring out the project you're working on and then put it back rapidly is the main point of being able to sprawl successfully.
You're not saying this, but either it's a shelf or a bucket or something like that, and I presume, like, if it's a bucket that you have all your stuff in, whatever the bucket or the container is just for that particular project, right? You don't co-mingle projects, right?
It's just for that particular project, and that's what can trip us up sometime. We want to clear it all off, and we might be scooping up something else on the desk just to get it off the desk that's not with that project. Another thing that's very helpful is to get shelving above the desk area to get as many things off the desk and onto the shelf as possible. And there may be temporary spots on that shelf for other little things that don't belong in your project bins that
mm-hmm.
you're taking out and putting back. Sometimes when they're on rollers, those units that have the plexiglass drawers, you could use a drawer for each
uh-huh.
project and roll it under the desk or roll it into a closet and bring it back out. If you're custom designing your area, some of the desks that they have are adjustable in height, so you could actually put a card table on rollers underneath the desk to pull out to give you
mm-hmm.
more workspace, and then when you're done working on it and putting your stuff away, you can shove the card table back underneath the desk and still use the desk.
So we've got a shelving with possible boxes and stuff like that, or like a bookshelf behind us that's got boxes or whatever. We put that stuff in. And then we got shelving above our desk to take stuff on the desk, like, you know, I don't know, staplers, punches, and so you get that off. So you have your working area. You got the desk that kind of goes up where you have things that you can slide under it, so you can kind of pull that stuff out. Again, all this different areas so that you can pull out like a box or this contents of a shelf or something from under the desk, sprawl it all out, and then unsprawl it quickly back to where it came. Right.
Right. It is about categorizing and sorting and having a specific use for each container or project bin that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're done with that project, purging it and relabeling the bin for the next new project that you're working on. One thing I do run across often is, we know we want our kitchen remodeled. So we start saving stuff way too soon.
Okay.
don't start collecting your stuff until you're really ready to move forward with the project. You could have years worth of, kitchen remodeling ideas. By the time you actually get to remodeling your kitchen, some of those ideas you saved, you no longer want. So it is starting to collect the information when you're about ready to use it and not too much beforehand, which is a time management piece,
mm-hmm.
When are we going to start this project? And part of the organization with sprawling, too, if you're sharing spaces, is maybe a dinner time discussion. Okay, if let's say there's three computers and four people that need to use them, who needs a computer tonight for their homework,
mm-hmm.
and who's going to use which computer and when, so that, you're not all trying to crowd four people on three computers at the same time. It is the time management piece that needs
yeah.
to be addressed also.
Well, we've got all of our family around here, we all work on a Windows PC, but we've got a Mac for all of our pictures and movies and stuff like that. And every night, there's four of us in our house. Everybody's fighting over the Mac area because it's more of a leisure time activity. And I'll tell you, it does require some organization and time management just to keep
right.
that from busting out into
right.
craziness, at least around the cover of it.
If you've got something to do later in the evening with a time associated with it, set a timer 5 minutes so that you have that 5 minutes to pick it up and put it away before you go off to pick up your kid at soccer or
yep,
whatever
yep.
it is that you need to get out of the house.
And Sandy, I want to kind of go to a break. When we come back, I want to kind of expand about the unsprawl, a little bit more details. You talked about real quickly, you said set a timer. Let me kind of get back to, you set a timer, how that works, and really how to effectively unsprawl so that next time you can sprawl, you can resprawl efficiently, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
For our listeners, a reminder, if you've got any questions or want to learn more about Sandy, go to Sandy Maynard, that's SandyMaynard.com. And with that, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Do you have something those with ADHD need? Advertise on Attention Talk Radio. We are a narrowcast, internet-based radio show targeting those with or impacted by ADHD. To learn more about advertising opportunities, email attention@attentiontalkradio.com.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. We've got Sandy Maynard in the house, and we're making a mess right now. Sandy, we're talking before this break about the kind of sprawling areas and buckets and where to put this so that you can efficiently kind of put it back. But when it's time to unsprawl, before the break you talked about, like, set a timer, like 5 minutes before it's time for you to wrap some stuff up. Let's talk about, like, when it goes off, what's the process of the unsprawl? I mean, how do you put it back, and how do you do it in such a way? I mean, for some, is it you just dump it in back into the bucket? Is there a way to do it?
Well, the most important thing is that it all does get put back in the same project bin that you took it out of.
Mm-hmm.
As you're putting it back, you might grab expand a file for things that are all of one nature or one category to separate it from the other things. You
mm-hmm.
might be doing some categorizing and sorting as you're putting it away. Definitely, without a doubt, if you've made a decision on what floor tile you want, you don't need to put the floor tile back in because it's going back to the store. Or just keep the one, if you've bought the samples, just keep the one that you want and toss the other ones. There may be
mm-hmm.
Pieces of paperwork that you don't need anymore. You've clipped some things out of out of a magazine and you've decided, nah, that's not what I want, definitely purge what can be purged from that project before you do put it back in the bin. And, you know, best case scenario, you do want to categorize and sort it in any way that you can. But, you know, don't take a long time doing it. You know, make it quick and easy. Make your categories large enough. If you've got three big expandophiles, you know, for three different categories of items that are being put back in the bin, sometimes we can tend to over-organized, you know, a file folder for each little thing. Make your categories big. You can always fine-tune your categories later if there's too much in one category.
I would think this is where the handy rubber band, paperclip, and I call it the portrait landscape stacking system really kind of comes into play, because if you just grab some stuff that's a category, sometimes you don't even have to
right.
label it. You just throw a rubber band around, or you just grab a paper clip
right.
and put it all together.
Right.
Or, like I like to say, just stack, you know, portrait, landscape, based on kind of categories, particularly if they're obvious based off the group. And that way you don't have to over-label the situation. Everything's geographically or physically compartmentalized in one way or another. So when you have to unsprawl, you just take it and it's already kind of in its own stacks. Again, if you stacked it the landscape portrait way or in the rubber bands, you just kind of put that stuff out. And it seems to me that you could probably hit the football 2-minute drill if you got good at this, where, you know, the timer goes off with 5 minutes to go. You know, you start to wrap things up in 2 or 3 minutes, and if you're good at this, you know, the 2-minute drill kicks in and you can have it all dashed away and on the shelf and good to go.
Absolutely. Binder clips, rubber bands, you know, a stapler can be your best friend. You've printed out 10 pages of instructions for something. You know, make sure they're all stapled together, because when you grab them, you may only grab the first 5 pages and the last 5 pages get lost. Or you move one stack to another stack and you only move half of it, so it doesn't stay together. You know, if everything is all facing the same way, you know, typically when I see a paper disorganization mess, there'll be papers of the same document upside down and backwards. And,
uh-huh.
You know, it takes forever to get them all in order. So when you're putting them away, it's a good idea to, you know, get them in order and binder clip them or staple them or rubber band them and stack them all the same way. Because if you need to go to that box just for one item and they're all stacked the same way, it'll be much easier to find that one item you need from that project bin.
Absolutely. And, you know, I for everybody out there, you know, the sprawling in projects, I mean, this can run the gamut. It could be scrapbooking, it could be insurance claims, it could be bill paying, it could be researching summer camps or schools, it could be work projects. I mean, it could be literally
Absolutely.
Anything.
Absolutely, yeah. And like I said, it's you know, if you can design your space yourself through, you know, one of these Easy Closets or Alpha or Container Store, best case scenario, you can really set it up the way you want to, because all of those stores have a variety of different things to choose from to make it the way you need it. And if you can't afford that route, because it is expensive, and you're going to Craigslist or eBay or whatever to pick up secondhand items to set up your sprawl space, make sure you measure. You know, I have a very poor concept of how big something is,
uh-huh.
So I measure it and I put masking tape on the floor. This is where the desk is going to go. Okay,
yep.
This is where the chair is going to go. This
yep.
is where the file cabinet is going to go. And that way you can visually see, do I have enough room to walk around the file cabinet to get to the bookcase? Do I have enough room to open up the closet door? If you actually tape, you know, put the tape
yep.
on the floor, and that way you can make sure that you're not going to get there and see that the desk is way too big or way too small.
Absolutely. Those are absolutely great tips, particularly the tape on the floor, so you can actually visualize and see that stuff before you go, because it's not just measuring, but you can put the tape on the floor and you can understand your proximity. So, Sandy, that's brilliant. Just a couple things. Some of these things you can get at, like, actually online. There's shelving.com, rubbermaid.com, containerstore.com, ikea.com. They have a lot of stuff there, too, just in terms of furniture. I mean, they're pretty creative in some of their stuff. So, and then, of course, you know, there's the local Staples where you can get your rubber band staplers and all that type of stuff. Sandy, and kind of concluding, is there anything that we haven't covered, a last point, that, or any other tips that you want to get to anybody before we sign off on this?
I've seen a lot of clients, and I can tend to do this myself. I'll go to the Container Store, and I'll go, oh, wow, this is neat. And you buy a large assortment of everything, and then you bring it back, and you find out, man, this is the size I really need, and I don't need these other sizes. If you've categorized and sorted the materials that you have before you go to the Container Store, you'll have an idea of how big of a container you need for it.
Mm.
Having a variety of sizes on hand for different projects of different sizes is great. But going overboard with it can create more clutter because you've got way more containers than what you need. And if you're putting your containers on a shelf so you can just take the container off, sprawl it on the desk and put it back, measure the shelf before you go so you're getting the right size container for your needs.
For the space, the space there.
Yeah,
so.
If you can't adjust the shelves, you may get there and buy a container that's, one inch too tall to fit on the shelf.
And trouble begins. So, Sandy, thank you very much for coming on the show. Today's been very insightful and very helpful. So everybody out there, particularly our ADDers that are visual learners, you have our permission to make a mess. Just do so that you can sprawl and unsprawl, drive those neatniks crazy. So, Sandy, thanks again for coming on the show.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
All right, everybody. That's it for this week. Catch us next week for another edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.